we're there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. Today, just one brother here, Ben. Ben's Storytime. This is Volume 2. We've done one in the past, and if you ever get a chance to go back and listen to the first Ben's Storytime, just note, audio, awful. Very, very bad, very poor audio. Hopefully the audio on this video, much better. I sound like a robot for most of the part one, so hopefully audio goes a little smoother on this one. And the reason that audio was so bad is was when we were making transition into working from home and getting used to recording at home. That was also the first episode I ever recorded on my own without Gus there to help me. So let's go ahead, Ben's story time here. So before we get into it, what we do on the show is every week we take a film, we watch said film, then we take to the pod to discuss said film, what we liked, what we didn't, what worked, what didn't, then we submit that movie to the factory. That's where we take the film we just watched, and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it, who would compose it, who would star? Same film, just modern booking for the modern audience. Then we end the show with a little bit of questioning time. However, every now and again, we do these story time episodes. Gus has done some in the past where he talked Godzilla or talked movies that he had made in the past, such as Dream, things of that nature. And then I have done one story time episode where I talked about my top games of all time. So with that being said, here we are. Ben's story time. Last time, I discussed my top games of all time. I have, since sophomore year of my college, undergrad, I have been tracking how many games I play per year and also put 100 hours into. So if I beat the game or I put 100 hours into it, I put it on a list of my favorite games of all time. Or I should say greatest games of all time, top games of all time. Because my list is a little unorthodox, as in, generally, when you get someone's top games list, it's their favorites, whereas mine takes a little more into account. My list takes things into account such as, you know, what effect did it have overall on my life, overall on my gaming habits, things of that nature. The best example I always give is something like Final Fantasy XV. Now, Final Fantasy XV is ranked at number 11 top games all time on my list. Now, Final Fantasy XV, there are plenty of games after number 11 on my list that I like much, much more. However, Final Fantasy XV was the first JRPG I beat, and it was the first one that really, second JRPG I ever beat, but got me into this trend of playing JRPGs and wanting more of that style of game, and now that's my favorite genre. So it has a very big impact on my gaming habits, my gaming life. So Final Fantasy XV ranks very highly, even though I've played much better games, much better stories. So today, what I thought I would do is I would kind of go through some of the different updates I've made to the gaming list, just a brief discussion on gaming, really. And since the last episode I did, where we had a very brief, like I said, Ben's story time with severely, severely bad audio. And so with that being said, let's go ahead and get into it here. So as I've mentioned in the past on the podcast many a times and things of that nature, my number one game all time is Persona 5, Persona 5 Royal. Nothing stacks up to that. Nothing stacks up to that in my opinion. Now, something that's really rare, and I don't know if this is same for anyone listening, but for me personally, I love video games, play them all the time. It's my primary source of entertainment. I don't generally watch TV shows. I don't generally watch that many movies outside of the podcast anymore. I did growing up. I watched them for the podcast. I watched them for my own entertainment, but I'm not watching movies every night, whereas Gus, he watches a lot of movies every night. He watches a lot of TV shows. And that's more his thing, where mine has always been, I really love video games. At one point in life, I wanted to be a video game designer. And so what's funny is I have this habit that when I start a game, I have to finish it. I require myself to finish that game. If I do not finish that game, I'm kind of upset with myself. I want to beat it, even if it's bad. So for example, my least favorite game that I've beaten of all time is Kingdom Hearts Rechain Memories. Didn't like the game, very confusing to me, it infuriated me. I was really anxious to beat it because I didn't think the story was that great. I mean, the story was good enough, but I wanted to beat it because I really didn't like the gameplay. The combat was bad to me. It was a mix between card combat and live action, and it was a lot of random wandering around. I have this thing that if games become become very annoying to play, where you just are just going, have to look up guides, something like that, where it's just a trait of mine that I just do not enjoy it. So that's my least favorite game of all time, coming in at 58, number 58 on my list. Now, I have played many other games, since obviously 58 being my least favorite, but 57 is a game I actually enjoyed with Ni No Kuni 2. So I do have one out of the 58 games, I can truly say that only one of them that I have beaten, I didn't enjoy. All 57 other games out of my 58 are games that I did generally enjoy. Now, I've started something recently, and this is just maybe, like I said, this is just a chat, video game chat. This is something to give you maybe an idea what to do with your own games if you're a big gamer like myself. But I started recently a video game Hall of Shame. I have three lists that I track per year. I track my top games all time that I've been tracking since sophomore year of college. I have my top games of the year that I started last year. So, for example, last year, top game of the year, Persona 5 Royal. I beat 20 games last year and or put 100 hours into. This year, 2021, to this point, I've beaten 9 games or put 100 hours in. And my number one game is a game called 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim, which is a phenomenal game. If you haven't played it yet, highly recommend it. But so I do track that. Top games of 2021, top games of 2020. I track my top games of the year. And then more recently, I decided to, just to stay on top of things, start a video game Hall of Shame. These are games that I started, got decently far into, and then couldn't finish for whatever reason. To this point, since I started tracking games in freshman or sophomore year of college, I have only had 2 games show up on this Hall of Shame. One last year, one this year. Last year was a game that I bought during Black Friday. I'd always been interested in it. To this point, I had only played Final Fantasy XV, and Final Fantasy XII had just come out on the Switch recently. So I thought, I've always wanted to get into the Final Fantasy series. I've only ever beaten 15. I will give 12 a shot. I got 20 hours into 12, and I was not enjoying my time with the game. I wasn't enjoying it. I didn't quite understand the combat. I was a little confused because a lot of times, and I could be 100% wrong at this, just coming at it at a wrong angle, but it just, the plot didn't grab me. I was a little confused. Hated the main character voice actor. He was annoying every time he opened his mouth. I was just a little confused by everything. It just didn't work for me. Personally, the game didn't click. I know there's a lot of people that love Final Fantasy XII. Just didn't click for me. More recently, this year, was actually one of the last games that I just played, was Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne HD Remaster for the Switch. Now, I love the SMT games. However, I say that with a grain of salt, because I've only, or I say take that with a grain of salt. Shin Megami Tensei was what Persona stemmed from. Persona games are my favorite games, period. I love Persona games. I'm actually playing Persona 4 Golden again right now. But the SMT games are known to be more combat-centric, RPG-centric, whereas the Persona games are more story-centric, slice-of-life-centric. That's what I like about them. So I wanted to try SMT 3 because I had never truly played an SMT game. I have SMT 4. I have SMT Strange Redux for the DS, 3DS, but I never played them. So I wanted to give it a shot because SMT 5 is coming out for the Switch and it looks amazing. So I figured I'd try 3. To me, 3, I kept seeing reviews that said, oh, if you really are looking for story, don't get this game, yada, yada, yada. I thought, you know, I can take it. I can play it. It'll be fine. So I got it. Started it. Was enjoying it. Perfectly fine, and I quickly found that in my opinion, and a lot of people, I read reviews that said, oh, it aged really well. I didn't think it did. I thought it aged really poorly. I thought I could feel that I was playing a PS2 game with an updated coat of paint, which I'm sure is, generally speaking, how it's supposed to feel to most people, obviously, but I just really didn't enjoy my time with it. I got roughly 18 hours into it. I was about halfway through the game. I know anyone that's playing it would probably be like, oh, that it should take longer than that. I was playing on the easiest difficulty. So the new one they added to the game, I was playing on the very easiest difficulty, so I was cruising through it. Because when I play games, when I play especially story games, I like to play them on, depending on the game. Like, I play Persona on normal. I play a lot of games on normal. But most games, I'll play on easy mode. Because I don't really care for the challenge. I play games for the story. I play games for that escapism. And so in my opinion, if I played on easy and all of a sudden I'm going god mode on everyone, that's escapism to me. I'm a badass now. I'm really, really good at this game. Whether or not it's true or not, you know, I don't care. I don't play for that challenge. And so that's kind of how I like to play games. So I was playing the game on easy, so I was cruising through it pretty quickly. But I must say, I just didn't really feel it was that good. I just wasn't clicking with me. Is the best term I can use, the best thing I can say. It just was not clicking with me personally. Now, I love Atlus. I still love the style of that game, Atlus being the publisher. I still love that style of game. I love everything. I really did enjoy it. It just wasn't for me. So it made the Hall of Shame because I had to move on. From that, excuse me, from that, I decided that I was going to stop and play something different. So I chose to play Final Fantasy VII Remake, and what a game. That game was awesome. I actually ranks at number 2 on my list all time. Ranks at number 2 on my list, or not, I'm sorry, not number 2 all time. Number 2 on the year, Final Fantasy VII Remake. Final Fantasy VII Remake was an awesome, awesome game. I really did enjoy it because I had never played the original Final Fantasy. I'm actually quite unspoiled on the entire story of Final Fantasy. So the remake was amazing. And so it led me from these two games, Hall of Shames, to really great games. And what's funny is it happened with my other Hall of Shame game. Final Fantasy XII, I quit that game, and I went on to play The Witcher 3, which I loved. Witcher 3 ranks pretty highly on my all-time list. Witcher 3 was number 7 last year on my Game of the Year. Top games all-time. Witcher 3, I believe, is in the 20s, which is relatively good. No, I lied. It's 18. 18 on my top game all-time list, Witcher 3. Same goes for Shin Megami Tensei 3. I was playing it, and I chose to give it a break, take a break from it, quit, go on to a different game, and I find Final Fantasy VII Remake, which I loved. It comes in at number 2 on the year for me, number 15 all time, which is really, really good, obviously. That's happened twice now, where I've played a game that maybe I wasn't quite clicking, and I moved on to another game, and that game clicked really well. And so that's kind of the new thing I've been doing with my games list. I won't go through my top games like I did last time. Last time, the first Ben story time, like I said, the audio's terrible. The list has changed quite a bit, but 58 games, I don't generally want to go through all of that. So I just figure what I'll do to kind of close out the show here is I would go through just my top games of the year. I've played 9 games, I've beaten 9 games this year, and just briefly kind of discuss, what I liked about them, why they made the list where they did, etc., and maybe inspire you to give some of these games a try. So, I will start with number 9 here. Number 9 is a game called A Short Hike. I beat this game, literally in 2 hours. It's extraordinarily, obviously, short. It's an indie game on the Switch. I'm not sure if it's on any other platforms, but it was a nice little game. It was a nice little treat of a game. It's kind of like Breath of the Wild meets Animal Crossing. It's really simple. It's really nice little indie graphics. The music's really beautiful. Story's really mellow. And you just the point of the game is to take a short hike. You're a bird, and you're traveling up to the top of this mountain to get cell service. It's really a nice little game. There's a stamina bar, very similar to Breath of the Wild. And there's little puzzles you can do and stuff along the way. But it was just a nice little enjoyable game. I played it and beat it. I played it the night before I had an oil change. I played it for like an hour, and then while my car was getting its oil changed and I was waiting for it to be done, I beat it. It was short, little two-hour game. A lot of fun. It ranks it at number 56 all-time for me, but that's not due to the short story, or that's not due to the fun I had with the game or anything like that. It's just a really short game, a little treat, so I couldn't really rank it super, super high, but it was a lot of fun. Next up is number 8, is Borderlands 3. I beat this game. This comes in at 55 all-time. It was my first trip back into Borderlands since I attempted to play it way back in high school. I tried to play Borderlands 1 by myself, didn't have any friends to play it with that wanted to play it, at least. Borderlands 3 was a blast. It was a really good, fantastic co-op experience. I played it with my one buddy who loves the Borderlands games. So it was a lot of fun to get back into that and just kind of run and gun. I play a lot of competitive shooters, a lot of competitive games. This gave me a new kind of outlook on just kind of sitting back, relaxing, run and gun, arcadey game. It just didn't really have a great, strong narrative to me, but it was a really arcadey experience, and it was fun to joke around in. Number 7, a game that I made a deal with Gus, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory, Octopath Traveler. Octopath Traveler, number 7 on the year. Octopath Traveler was a great game, I thought. I had a lot of fun with it. It comes in at number 33 on my all-time list. I first played this game when the demo was released, a couple years back. I was relatively new to JRPGs. They weren't really my thing yet. I didn't really get it. I didn't play through the entire demo. I always thought JRPGs were really hard, really grindy. I didn't like the grind. However, since JRPGs have kind of become my favorite genre of game, I really like the grind. I like grinding and becoming overpowered and whatnot. And so I made a deal with Gus that I would play Octopath Traveler if he would play Persona 5 Royal. I went over to his house. He gave me that. I gave him Royal. And I started playing Octopath Traveler. And I selected Cyrus. And if you've never played Octopath Traveler, you have 8 different characters to choose from to make your party up of. Each character has their own story, individual story. Each one of those stories has 4 chapters. So you have 8 4-chapter stories. A lot of fun. I beat it in 50 hours plus. I think it was like 52 hours, I want to say. Each story was pretty compelling. All the characters were a lot of fun. The combat was amazing. What really shined in this game was the soundtrack. The dynamic battle system. There's just a lot of charm in the art style, in the way things look. And it's pretty lighthearted compared to a lot of others. I mean, there's some dark moments, but it's a fairly lighthearted little jaunt through this new world. And it was a lot of fun. I did enjoy it. I did become overpowered. It was funny because I was telling Gus what I was doing in the game, and he was like, "This is over my head." I just kind of went through it, but I was using my JRPG training to figure it out. Number 6 on the list is another game I made a deal with another buddy of mine, Fire Emblem Path of Radiance. Fire Emblem Path of Radiance is a game for the GameCube. It is the most expensive game I own. Gus bought it for me for Christmas. And I really never thought I'd play this one, but when I got it, I made a deal with my other buddy, we call him Mulch, but I made a deal with him that I would play Path of Radiance and Radiant Dawn. Both games take about 40 hours. They're sequels. Path of Radiance is the first one. It's on the GameCube. Radiant Dawn's on the Wii. I said that I would play both those games, about 80 hours of gameplay, if he would play Persona 5 Royal. Same deal I made with Gus. However, Gus is doing very good with Royal. He's progressing well. My buddy Mulch did not get into Royal. He barely, I don't even think he got to the first dungeon of the game. He was did not hold up his end of the bargain, but that didn't stop me, because when I start a game, I have to beat it. So Path of Radiance is a great game. It's fun to jump back into a GameCube game. Story is simple enough. Crazy guy starts a war. Mercenaries save a princess. Mercenaries will help other to save several other countries and eventually save the whole world. What was really interesting is there was a lot of like racial aspects to the story. And there was a lot of deeper cuts than you'd think. Racial relations between nations, a plot to release a dark god, there's like messages of forgiveness coming together and all that throughout the game. It was a really good game. It offers one of the most expansive rosters of characters I've really seen in a Fire Emblem game. Because Fire Emblem, generally you have so many characters, but this one, Path of Radiance, had a lot of characters that I wanted to use. A lot of times in other Fire Emblem games, there'll be a bunch of characters I don't really care for. This one had a lot of characters that I wanted to use. It did leave me with a lot of questions by the end. I knew they'd be answered in Radiant Dawn, because there is a sequel, obviously. But I did want a little more. I did have a fun time. But I went immediately to Radiant Dawn after this. However, Radiant Dawn, well, Path of Radiance was number 6. Number 5 on my list is not Radiant Dawn. It's Ghosts of Tsushima. Ghosts of Tsushima, number 5 on my list. It was really, really, really good to me. It was a great open world game. I felt really consistently like I was watching a film. The cinematics played out really crazily to me. That game is just an artwork. It's really, really artsy. Number 23 all time for me. It was a beautiful looking game. It was really dynamic in terms of its music. I loved its soundtrack. I loved the character Jin, the main character, his decisions, the story kept me continually engaged. And what was really nice about this game was that it was really quite short for a game of its style. Most open world games take you forever to beat, 50 hours, 40 hours, some cases a lot longer. And you know, that's kind of my bread and butter, is long games. Long games that are tedious take me 50 to 100 hours to beat. This is what I do to myself. I don't know why. But this game only took me 20 plus hours. I think it was like 21 something hours. So I happily accepted that as, you know, something that just had a shorter story. I didn't lose any aspects over the course of a long playtime. I mean, that kind of happened. Like, I played Red Dead Redemption 2, and by the end of the story, there were parts that I had forgotten from the beginning of the story, because that story is so long. But it's very good. So becoming the ghost, carving my legend, that open world experience, it was fun. It was one of the better open world experiences I've had in a long time. Number 4 is Fire Emblem Path of Radiant Dawn. So the sequel to my number 6. Now, what's funny about this is a lot of times my, like I said, my top games all time list, it has other factors than what game I liked more than another, right? It depends on, you know, like, for example, Ghost of Tsushima all time is one of the best open world games I've played in a long time. It was really good. I really loved the music. Radiant Dawn didn't really change any of my gaming habit. It didn't really have that big of an impact on me. I liked it more than Ghost of Tsushima. However, it ranks lower on my all-time list than Ghost of Tsushima, because it didn't really change anything up, didn't do anything crazy. I ranked it just a little lower, but I still really enjoyed it. It comes in at number 38, so I liked it better than Path of Radiance, but didn't really change anything for me. It literally felt like I just kept playing Path of Radiance, which is a great thing. There was some changes. It was very interesting in that you start the game playing as the enemy from the first game, which was interesting. You kind of get to see the fallout of war, which is a different kind of take. You get to see what all the characters have been doing, because there is a bit of a time jump, and it felt like you were just continuing the story effectively. I thought it was a really effective conclusion to that tale, the Path of Radiance and Radiant Dawn. I thought it really tied up in a nice, neat bow. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. And I missed the characters. I did really have a fun time with it. There's been a rumor for a while now that they might remaster these at some point. I don't know if that would actually happen or not, but it would be a lot of fun to see it. I think, personally, Fire Emblem being one of my favorite series, if they redid this game in the style of a Three Houses where you can walk around and you have the base and everything. I think that would be amazing because I liked a lot of these characters and I would like to do more of that style of gameplay where it has that Persona-esque feel to it. But who knows? We'll have to see. Next up was at number three. This was my number one game, and I thought I was going to have a really hard time unseating this game this year, but played two games that were better. But number three here, Persona 5 Strikers. So this is a spin-off title of Persona 5. It plays into, you know, what would happen after Persona 5, the first one, not Royal. It doesn't take Royal into account. And it was my most anticipated game of 2021. It didn't disappoint me at all. I was really excited to get back into things. The gameplay was just so drastically different in this game because it was more of a Warriors style game, hack and slash style, versus the standard turn-based combat. But that difference made it unique. At heart, it was just another Persona game to me. I enjoyed going around and exploring. I love the art style, the music, again, amazing. The story was more than I was anticipating. I got new characters that I loved. A lot of great new characters, actually. And so my love affair with the Persona 5 franchise, Persona in general, just kept growing. I wanted to plat this game. I might plat at some point in time. And it was just really, really great. If you like Persona 5, highly recommend Strikers if you haven't already. It is really, really enjoyable experience. And the gameplay is a lot of fun. If you've never played Persona 5, I wouldn't really recommend Strikers because, obviously, it's a sequel. You'd be pretty confused. But, excuse me. Like I said, I thought this was going to be number one of the year. No questions asked. No way anything was beating it. But at number two, Final Fantasy VII Remake came in. Now, Final Fantasy VII Remake right now is number 15 on my all-time list. Number two on the year. Probably the most stunning game I've played on my PS5 to date. I had the free PS5 upgrade for it. So I got it in the 4K and all that stuff. But just amazing, amazing, amazing story. Amazing voice acting. Amazing music. Graphics were amazing. Everything about this remake was perfect. There really wasn't anything I would change. And I went into it wanting to dislike it because a lot of people, this obviously came out the same year as Royal, Persona 5 Royal. A lot of people had this on their list for Persona 5 Royal, or like when awards were going around, this was on there, but Royal wasn't. I was like, oh, why isn't Royal? And they're like, oh, it's just a remake. I'm like, so is Final, but this is so much more. I've gone back and watched clips of the original game, and this is obviously a game in and of itself, and upon completing it, I know that it is a game in and of itself. It's its own entity, rather. And it was just such an enjoyable experience meeting these characters, understanding them more. I mean, Gus and I on the podcast did Final Fantasy VII Advent Children, which is a movie that acts as a sequel to the original Final Fantasy VII. I have watched that a bunch, but never played the game, never understood really a lot of that movie because I didn't play this game. Now I could go back into that with fresh eyes. Obviously, I want to play part two, and they just came out with a DLC. I want to play that stuff first, but it was just such an enjoyable experience to go back through and play all of that and get to know these characters and understand them a little more. Last on my list, number one on the year, number 10 all time, was a game called 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim. I had just beaten Octopath Traveler. I came off of Octopath Traveler, and I decided, because I got an Xbox recently, that I was going to start playing the Yakuza games. And I had never played a Yakuza game, and I wanted to give it a shot. So I booted up Yakuza 0, which is the prequel, one that that was suggested to play first by a bunch of online lists. And it just wasn't clicking. It wasn't what I wanted to play. So I played an hour of it, and I quit. And that night, I walked over to my PlayStation games, all my games, and I looked at what games did I have. And I saw 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim, a game made by Atlus, who makes the Persona games, but also a game that I hadn't played yet. My mom got it for me for Christmas this year, or this prior year, and I just hadn't gotten to it yet. I'd always been interested in it. is a game. It's developed by, it's produced by Atlus, developed by a company called Vanillaware, who I've never played any of their games. But they have this nice hand-drawn style. It's almost like everything's painted. And it's beautiful. They don't really release many games. I do have three of their games. I have 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim. I have a game called Dragon's Crown for the PS4 as well. And I have another game called Odin Sphere, which came out for the PS2 originally, but they remastered it for the PS4. So I have three other games. They don't have many more than that in terms of their full-scale games. But this game stunned me. It was one of the best stories that I have ever played in a video game. I have 58 games on this list. If you can either watch a playthrough of this game or play it, I highly recommend it, because really, I promise you, you will not find a better story told in terms of the way this story is told. The game has a simple enough base. There's 13 teenagers. They must pilot giant mechs to stop an alien invasion. But there is so much more throughout the tale as it unfolds and tells it from different time periods and different things. There's a little bit of time travel. There's a little bit of something, other things, mysterious things in there. There's a lot of homage to other things. Homage to old movies, old kaiju movies like Godzilla, old movies like Terminator. There's a lot of little things like that. The story unfolds in a way across these 13 different kids, these 13 different teenagers, and it's told from all their different angles, but from different points in the story. So you'll get one piece from one character, and then later on down the road, maybe 5 hours later, you'll play another character's story, and it'll intertwine all of a sudden. You'll start to understand a little more what led to that moment. And by the end, I promise, you will not regret it. You will be blown away. It was an amazing game, amazing music. If you look up reviews, the only lackluster thing you'll see is the game it has two styles. It's a visual novel, where you're just kind of getting story, solving like mini point-and-click puzzles almost. And the other point is more of an RTS-style tower defense game. That's the battles. The battles are a little boring versus the actual story. The story was amazing, and I really do highly recommend it. I beat it in 27 hours. Took me just 8 days. I literally played it straight over a three-day weekend. Like, I just sat there over that three-day weekend and put 14 hours into it and beat it over 3 days. Learning about all the characters' backgrounds was amazing. It was just really an awesome story to get into. And by the end, you know, I was at the end of the game. I was like, I want to go back and platinum this game. So I did. I went back in, put an additional 2 hours into it, platinumed it. This is my fourth platinum trophy. It took me an additional hour and a half to do. But I play a lot of games. And many of them give me really, really great feelings, obviously. But very few can give me just this bittersweet feeling that I get after beating a game that I truly enjoyed. And this game left me with that feeling. This game left me with that feeling of, I'm really glad that I beat this game, but I'm sad that I will never be able to experience this story this way again. I often see people that beat Persona 4 or Persona 5, generally 4. For whatever reason, I see it with 4 a lot. But people will say, they'll post on Reddit or whatever it may be and say, I wish I could go back and not remember this game and play it again. Experience it for the first time again. As someone who's replaying Persona 4 right now, I'm replaying it not only because I love it, but because I want to platinum it. And it's a hard game to platinum in one run. I want to platinum it, but some of the magic's gone, because it's a mystery story, and I know what's going to happen. Same goes for 13 Sentinels. There's a bit of mystery, and it wouldn't be the same going back through. This would be a game that I'd have to live vicariously through someone, and that's what makes this game so great, is I want to forget it so I could play it again, because it's so, so good. So that is my top games of the year. So far, 9 games, I'm working on it. I'm taking a slight break. Obviously, I'm playing a game that I already beat before, and I'm catching up on some TV shows. So I'm probably going to play less games this year than I did last year. But that was just a quick little Ben's story time. Obviously, that's what we're getting into. I just talking real quick. We didn't have a movie planned. It was getting a little late in the week, so I decided to do something quick. I hope you enjoyed it. If you liked what you've heard, be sure to check us out over on Audioboom. That's our primary source. That's where we'll be hosting the show to first, and then subsequently it gets shipped out everywhere else. So wherever you find your podcast, Spotify, Google Play, Audioboom, we're there. You can also find us over on Twitter. We're at The Bros Movie Pod. This will be posting links to the show, clips of the show, and things like that. And lastly, you can find us over on Facebook. You go to The Brothers Movie Factory on Facebook, and you'll find us there. You'll find things Gus makes, memes, links, etc., etc., etc. So that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it. But until next week, brothers.